This is the Podcasting Underground, episode 36.
You've entered the Podcasting Underground. Podcasting for podcasters. News and tips to help you succeed in podcasting.
On this episode of the Podcasting Underground, real-world community-building tips for podcasters. Also a tip, in fact, 10 of them, on how to magnetically attract listeners to you and keep them coming back for more. All in this episode of the Podcasting Underground, online at podcastingunderground.com. I'm your host, Jason Van Orden, podcasting and internet media consultant and author of Promoting Your Podcast. Yes, we are back again already for another episode of the Podcasting Underground. You see, I've been feeling a little guilty. Yes, the guilt has set in. I haven't been the best podcast host here on the Podcasting Underground. I feel like I've let you down. I just haven't been that dependable. So this is an effort to get more content out more often. And we're definitely good. I'm a believer in being more consistent. It's just never quite happened for this show for whatever reason. And it's not because I don't care about getting the good content out. I just, you know, I'm a chronic, I have a chronic problem. That is that I always try to do way more than I really have time to do. And so, you know, things slip through the cracks, and that, I guess, is the life of a scattered entrepreneur at times. But it does, I definitely do want to get content out more frequently. We've actually been successful in doing that in Internet Business Mastery for the last few months. We've every other week, every 2 weeks, pretty much on, you know, consistently have been able to get episodes out. So it's all about, you know, making it more of a system, making it a priority to do. But, you know, hopefully, you know, I still have the other means out there that I try to connect with everyone, the email newsletter. Hopefully you're on the email newsletter that has been going out pretty much every week. And, you know, Twitter, my blog, things like that. So anyway, yes, we're back already, and I have just another really important set of great content today. I want to continue the whole thing on community building. And in this episode, I was able to put together, have a discussion with somebody who's done an excellent, excellent job of building a community. In fact, so much so that he's been able to quit his job and really pursue what makes him most passionate. And that is, you know, building his community and creating great content for his audience. And some of his podcasts have as much as 14,000 listeners. So this is definitely somebody who knows what he's doing. This is Cliff Ravenscraft of GSPN.TV. Perhaps you've listened to some of his podcasts. If not, I definitely recommend going over there and checking it out. He's got shows on a variety of topics, the man is a content machine. Here I am making excuses about not getting a stupid podcast out every couple weeks, and I don't know, he's maintaining at least a dozen different podcasts. So maybe I can learn a few things from Cliff. Well, I know I could learn a few things from Cliff. Anyway, so we're gonna I decided to get on the phone with him and just have a discussion and come up with so we could come up with some great tips to continue this whole discussion that we started last episode about community building, because again, this is what I feel is one of the most, if actually the most important thing you can do as a content creator, as a business owner, and that is to attract, to build a loyal community of fans, a loyal community of listeners, a loyal community of customers who come back to you again and again. And that is what's going to, you know, bring you, I think, the most enjoyment, fulfillment out of your show, the most financial stability, if, you know, money's what you're going for as well. And I guess I should point out that actually I'm back in the States now. Today we are not in, I'm not in Buenos Aires. As spring was springing in New York City, we found that we were just really missing the sunshine. And this is one of the best times of year to be in Manhattan. So we jumped on a plane, found a sublet, and came back to the big city. It called us back. We had a wonderful few months there in Buenos Aires. Now we're back up here. And then, we got a couple other destinations going back home to Utah for a little while. And then I will be at the New Media Expo, of course, in August. And after that, not quite sure. So I guess if you have any suggestions, feel free to send those in, because we're trying to decide where we're going to be going next in this little traveling adventure of ours. And so this also means I'm not under the blanket this time. Thank goodness I don't have to swelter to death for the sake of content. Instead, I just have the one, I gotta, you know, I should really probably find a list of the top 10 places for podcasters to live, because even though I'm not under a blanket, living in New York City, of course, there's always the occasional siren or noisy neighbor that comes along. Earlier, we had somebody blaring some Jimi Hendrix out here. So if you hear a little purple haze or All Along the Watchtower, chime in as I'm speaking here. You'll know where that's coming from. But that's the big city for you. Anyway, let's go ahead and jump into this interview. This is actually an excerpt of the interview. It was quite a long interview, and I'll tell you after the interview how you can get a hold of the rest of it. It was over 50 minutes of content, and I cut it down to the first, you know, about 25 minutes. Lots of good stuff in here. So, just to let you know, I was talking on the phone. Cliff was recording it for me on his end and then sent me the file. So you'll hear me talking on the phone, Cliff talking into his microphone. And so, you know, the audio quality isn't the pristine that would have if we were both in our studio. But anyway, great content. Hope you enjoy it. Here we go with the interview with Cliff Ravenscraft of GSPN.TV.
All right. So, Cliff, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit today about community, because I know you did a presentation recently about community at PodCamp NYC and made some excellent points. And I know with GSPN.TV, you've got a lot of community built up. You've done some excellent things there, a thriving community that's really added to your life in many ways, at least from what I've been able to see. And, you know, maybe we can just start out by discussing a bit a definition of community. A lot of different things come to mind when you say the word community, but of course we're here talking in the context of online presence and business and content creation and things like that. So how would you define community in that context?
Well, the first thing, obviously, going from a non-textbook definition and using my own personal definition of what I feel community is, it's a place to belong and share passions with people who also share your same passion. So basically, for me, I find it easy to develop community with people surrounding topics or niche areas of interest.
Okay, and how do you know when? I think definitely that's a good point, that the whole niche thing, because the community is most effective when it's got a very focused area that it's surrounded around, a focused thing that connects everybody there. I guess the question some people might have is, well, how do you know when you are starting to have a community, and what is it that... what are the characteristics, I guess, that you would see when that community starts to grow and thrive and actually be a living entity, so to speak?
Sure. Well, for me, I started to recognize a little bit of community. The first thing is when I started podcasting, I immediately started getting feedback from listeners, and I began to have community, or I guess I would say more of a friendship, or started to build relationships with people one-on-one, meaning directly, just between myself and them. And so in the early days of podcasting, I may have had 40, 50, 60, 70 friends that I was personally interacting with one-on-one, and I would consider those to be just relationships or friendships that were being developed online, socially, through the internet. But one of the very first things that started to happen is when we started to open up the comments on your posts online for your podcast, and then all of a sudden, not only are they commenting to the episode that you released, but all of a sudden somebody's responding to somebody else's comment, and then somebody else responds to their comment, and then all of a sudden I started to see dialogue happening among my friends who I personally only interacted with one-on-one, but now my friends, you know, start interacting with each other. And so it got to the point where there was so much conversation going on in the comment section of our podcast that it was just impossible to follow. And so we decided to shut down all the comments on our blog post entries, which I wouldn't suggest for most people, but what we did is we created a forum online, And now today, we've got several hundred people in our forum who are now interacting with each other on a daily basis, having really deep, ongoing, wonderful conversations around all the various things that we podcast about. And it's just been amazing since then. So really, I think, so there's these niche topics of common shared interest or passions that brought us together, but it was the technology that allowed conversation, ongoing conversation, to really develop friendships, not just between me as the host and them as the listener, but actually as it, to build relationships between us all, where we're all having a conversation with each other, and we all feel like we are beginning to know each other really well.
Well, there's a lot of great words that you brought up there that I'd like to underscore. I mean, the community is based on relationships. It's based on interaction and communication. And so I definitely think that's a great, I guess, indicator of the health of a community is how much interaction is going on. And, you know, in the case here of, say, a community that's formed around not only a certain niche and topic, but maybe a certain brand like GSPN or a certain business brand like Cliff Ravenscraft or Jason Van Orden, it's not only in the interaction with, you know, me, but then, like you said, the interaction between them, each other, the community, the audience themselves talking to each other. And, you know, that's interesting what you said about how you switched over to a forum. What, maybe you can point out a couple of the reasons why you decided that for your community a forum was more, I don't know, just conducive, I guess, to the conversation or just what you wanted to do rather than just having the blog comments open.
Yes, I definitely can explain really what happened there is because prior to the forum, our Lost podcast got insanely popular based upon a lot of different factors, but mostly just by pure luck and timing. And so much that we had literally thousands upon thousands of listeners within just a few short weeks of podcasting. And I was beginning to get to the point where I would have about 300 to 400 emails per week from listeners of our podcasts, with about 6 to 7 pages worth of email content on their personal theory that they would love for me to share on my podcast and for me to read and comment on and see what I thought about it, because I was the quote-unquote resident expert on Lost. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And of course, with me being the type of individual that I personally want to read and respond to every single email that came in, I just quickly realized that this is impossible. And I believe that I would lose my personal, I would lose who I am if I don't respond to them. I feel like I would not be living up to what I believe is my standard of taking the time of saying, you know, I want to respect the fact that you took a portion of your life to create an email and generate that to send it to me. That is an investment in a relationship on your part. And for me to not read that email and just delete it because I don't have time is kind of like saying, here's your investment. You know, you invested in me, and I'm taking your money or your asset or your investment, and I'm just throwing it out the window. I don't care about it. And that just killed me. And so basically what I did is I'm like, okay, this forum is a great place for me to say, you know what, I have skimmed over your theory, and it looks very interesting. Unfortunately, as you might realize, I don't have time to read every single email that comes in that, you know, that is in this much detail. But what I have done is I've taken the opportunity to go ahead and create a thread in our gspn.tv/forum, and I've posted your comment there. And if you go check on it sometime later today, chances are you'll probably see about 4 or 5 other people who will start having a conversation based upon your theory. If you don't mind, in the future, if you have some kind of, you know, lengthy discussion regarding Lost, probably the best place to put it is over here in the forum, because I do frequently visit there, especially when I'm researching content for my show, and I briefly glance through and see if there's some highlights that I want to bring to the show. But I choose to do email in a more personal fashion, and such that, you know, I really want to build a relationship with the people that are listening to me. And so if you ever want to shoot me an email that just says, you know, hey, here's something you said in your podcast, and you know what, that really brought this to mind, and I'd just like to share a little bit of my life with you. Those are really what those are the emails I really enjoy getting from my listeners. And so if anytime you want to share something personal, feel free to shoot me an email. I'll read it. I'll respond. I would love that. But if you don't mind, please, if you've got something related to the TV show Lost that other people in the community could benefit from having a conversation about, post it over there. And that's really where it all began.
Well, I think that that makes a lot of sense. Now, like you said, I guess it's going to be a case by case whether the forum seems appropriate or blog comments seem appropriate. Now, of course, the forum thing allows anybody to open up a thread. But I really like what you're saying about, I mean, I deal with the same problem. I get lots and lots of email, and, you know, I'm definitely not perfect at responding to them all. I wish and I've been trying to find better ways to be able to manage that, because you're right. Every email that gets sent is an investment in a relationship with you, and if that's the basis of the community, then, you know, people are trying to connect with you, and to just let that connection fall flat, then, you know, it's certainly not going to be conducive to building up that community. And what you're saying is that you decided, well, let's kind of outsource. Well, I don't know if outsource is the right word, but let's, you know, use the community then to support itself. And, you know, if I don't have time to write 20 minutes to write an email or answer a question or whatever the case may be, well, let's still let them connect with the community and have that question answered and still find the connection and the sense of belonging and want to stay around. And that's, I think, a very powerful concept right there, because essentially what they are looking for is connection with people who are like them.
And right.
Looking for a place where, you know, values are shared, ideas are shared, and, maybe elsewhere they don't find as many people, you know, maybe that conversation at the water cooler at their work would just get a bunch of strange glares or whatever, but they bring it to GSPN and everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's a great question, or hey, wow, that is such a cool idea, or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
So, let me
bring people back.
Can I give you another example that's even more practical to the branding and the company aspect of things? I do a show called Help I Got a Mac at helpigotamac.com, and of course, I was, you know, it's the same thing. It's like immediately people started asking me technical support questions in my email. And, you know, I, anytime somebody makes that investment, I personally do respond to every single email. Sometimes if the email is longer than two or three, you know, sentences, then it may take a week to 2 weeks before I respond, but I will respond to everything. But what I've done is I've really taken the time to really tell people that the forum is the place to go for the first contact of the community. If you want answers right away, this is the place to go. And for Help I Got a Mac, you go to that section of the forum, and you'll see questions people are asking. It's like, hey, I want to be able to do this with my Macintosh, and I was able to do it this way on the PC, but I can't figure out how for the life of me I can do it on the Mac. Is this possible? And the truth is, I the name of my podcast is Help I Got a Mac. And the reason it's called that is because I was a brand new Mac user, and I needed help, and I was looking for my community to help me. And so, in essence, what happens is I'll go to the Help I Got a Mac section, and I'll see questions that are posted there, and I'll see that 10 or 15 people have responded to them within an hour of them posting the question. And it has fully 100% answered their question to the greatest extent that they could ever imagine. Not only do they have one option, but they have three or four different options to do what they want to do. And what's great is I go to helpigotamac.com, or I go to the gspn.tv/forum, go to that section, and that's where I get the content for my show. And so now me and my co-host, or my co-host and I, my co-host being somebody who was used to be a Mac genius at an Apple store, he and I go through the forum, and we look at the questions, and we look at all the answers, and we say, hey, Joe asked how can he use an external drive connected to his Apple AirPort Extreme. Is that possible? And then we got Sally answered this, and Bob answered this, and Tony answered this, and Chris, do you have any opinion on which one you think is your favorite as the resident expert here? And he gives his thoughts on it, and maybe even elaborates on some other ideas. That's the beauty of this whole community and this forum, getting answers. But not only that, but everybody who gets an answer at gspn.tv/forum guess who gets the credit as far as the branding and the who brought the value of that answer? It's GSPN.TV. If it were not for GSPN.TV, that forum would not have existed, and they would have not been able to get those answers so custom made to their needs.
Yeah, and I'm realizing there's an interesting progression here. Again, forums bring, you know, lots of advantages, and there's some other sides to it as well. But I'm seeing an interesting progression here. I mean, maybe you start your podcast and your blog, and at first it's a dialogue with you, and you know, hopefully you're doing stuff like asking a question in every post or with every podcast, and people start answering those questions, giving their insights and stuff, and it's an interaction with you. But then eventually, and you know, I see this in my own blog, people start responding to each other in the blog comments, and then as your traffic builds up to a critical mass, you know, and that's when you know it's like, okay, maybe we can find another vehicle for these people to start communicating. And in your case, it's like, okay, we're going to move this over to a forum now, and you know, allow anybody to post a thread. Or, well, I don't know, do you allow that, or is it only you that posts threads, or can anybody?
Well, the thing is how I do my forums is anybody can read any thread on our forum, but you have to register and become register and become a member of the forum before you can post anything. And if you you have to, of course, read the rules and regulations of our forum, which are pretty basic. And our forum is, one of the rules is that you cannot be one of the typical snotty forum people that say, oh, that's been posted somewhere else. Go, you know, don't post that here. That we don't allow that. This is a family, and we treat each other like family. And if it's been posted somewhere else, so be it. Let's just go ahead and just answer the question here, because most people that come to our forum aren't technically savvy forum people. And so, you know, just be family, be friends. And so we're more than happy to be friends here in our forum. So anyway, I don't allow anybody to post unless they become a community member. And then we have moderators. I have enough people in the community now that have volunteered to be moderators. Based upon my principles and values of what I want carried out in my forum, they will moderate my forum based upon those.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the downsides. Or I guess I should just say challenges with the forum is obviously now there's a lot of input to keep up with. But again, if you turn that responsibility over to the community itself, you've got that support for people to, like you say, moderate it. And you can choose some of the people you know are there often that can catch anything that, you know, might not be appropriate for what you're trying to do for your community. But, you know, that's kind of a great progression then for somebody who's thinking about wanting to do forums. Because, of course, if you start a new site and throw up a forum and, you know, there's crickets at first, then people don't come back. And so, you know, it allows you to build, if you build up that critical mass first, then, you know, it can self-propagate and become a very thriving channel for communication.
Absolutely. I'm consulting with Dave McClellan right now, who was the chief engineer of Corvette from 1975 to 1992. And he wanted to do a forum right away. And you can find his stuff over at CorvetteChief.com. And I told him, I said, you know what? We don't want to start a forum for your podcast until we get at least 20, an average of 20 comments per episode post, and where people are starting to have conversations with each other in that post. That, for me, that is when I suggest we move to a forum. Because exactly what you're saying, if you open a forum and you've got 9 members and nobody's posting there, it's a ghost town and nobody will come back. But can I speak to the progression of kind of what led me where I am and kind of just share my thoughts on how I mean, it's not like it was a formula for success, but just kind of how it naturally occurred?
Sure, yeah, that'd be great.
So for me, it started out, I started podcasting, and I only shared my email address on every podcast. I said, hey, I want to hear from you. Go ahead and email me. And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, post a comment on the website. And by the way, here's my email. And then I set up a listener line. And I said, okay, go ahead and post a comment, email me, or call us and leave us a voicemail. And we'll put your voicemail on the show. And then it was, come and join our show live. And then it was, oh, we are getting so many comments, so much feedback via email, so many great things happening in our community. Let's start a forum. And then we have this forum, and all of a sudden these other wonderful technology tools started to sprout up. Our forum is still our first and foremost place for us to interact with each other as a community. But we also use our forum. We have a thread in our forum for Twitter IDs. So several hundred people from the GSPN.TV community, as soon as they get a Twitter account, they go in on the on that thread in the forum, and they put in their Twitter ID. And somebody who just signs up today at gspn.tv/forum, if they are part of the people who associate with the podcasting we do here, they can go into the forum and spend maybe 25 minutes and add 300 people from the gspn.tv community who also have Twitter IDs.
Yeah.
And that's what, and all, same thing with Facebook, same thing with MySpace, same thing with any other social networking tool out there. There is a section of our forum where you can share your online identity with other people. And so, it's a great way. And then all of a sudden, it's through, it's like on the forum, okay, it's one method of communication. But boy, there's a whole lot of stuff I learn about other people in my community through their Twitter messages that they would never post, take the time to go and post in the forum. I mean, nobody's going to go over to the forum and say, hey, I'm going to go see the Hobbit movie today or whatever. You're just not going to get those things. But you learn a lot about people through Twitter, and I wouldn't have learned about it if they wouldn't have posted their Twitter ID on my thing, on the forum.
Well, and that's... that really is another great extension to the whole community. I mean, once you start seeing that you're building up, some of these people are coming back again and again to your site, commenting on your blog. I mean, the way I view Twitter, I mean, you have your voicemail and you have your email, some basic connection tools, and then maybe you should have an email newsletter, which is a great way to at least keep yourself on the top of their mind. But then you've got the blog comments, which kind of progresses things even further. They can actually respond to you there on the blog. Other people see the responses. But then you've got the forum, where now they can start communicating with each other even more. And now Twitter, and the way I look at that, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I've got my email list and blogs and podcast subscribers, but now Twitter is a place for interaction with the people who are, for lack of a better word, really getting hardcore about the community. It's like, okay, yeah, now I'm fascinated and wanting to know more about, not only Cliff, but other people in the community. And like you say, there's things posted there that you wouldn't see elsewhere, but, they've made a decision. It's like, hey, yeah, I want to be involved on a deeper level. And so, I found Twitter to be a great tool for the deeper connection. And people who are getting interested in my life, because, we're moving to Buenos Aires, or, we just got back from there, but we moved there, and we lived there for a while, and we came back, and they want to take part in that kind of thing. And likewise, I'm looking at their lives and what they're starting to do, and gives me insights into, okay, well, how can I better help my community, or just a connection of friendship, which also just solidifies the whole, community thing going on. So, agreed. I mean, Twitter and Facebook are great tools for kind of taking that natural progression and just bringing it.
Yeah,
because the whole community building thing is a progression. It's like, okay, somebody comes to your site, you just got to get that first attention from them, giving them a reason to okay, this looks like someplace I may be interested in, someplace I might belong, might want to come back to, and then it progresses along. It's like, okay, I'm going to subscribe to the newsletter, I'm going to subscribe to the podcast, and then it progresses along. They're like, well, I think I might comment on this blog post because I have something to say about it. Oh, look, Cliff or Jason, they just responded to what I had to say. This is cool, and then, mm-hmm. It's like, well, hey, I'm going to follow them on Twitter now because their lives seem, interesting, and maybe they'll be, I'd like to connect with them more, and maybe they'll be interested in my life. And so that progression is definitely an important thing to keep in mind, the way you build community.
Absolutely. And a couple things that I've done, I mentioned the idea of also doing live shows and having people come and interact with each other in a chat room while you're doing a live show. And one of the things that Stephanie and I have gotten really intentional about is, and this may seem weird to people, but you might think that our podcast is the main focus of what we do when it comes to interacting with our community. But honestly, there are sometimes we'll record a podcast, and once we're done recording a podcast, we'll do a post show, and we sometimes focus on that more so than we focus on the content of a particular podcast, because it's there where we're actually just having laid back, casual conversation with other people. This is where values are shared, dreams are shared, hopes are shared, issues and struggles are shared. And this is where community comes together and they all encourage one another and are looking to enrich each other's lives. And I'll tell you what, there was one time I did a 25 minute podcast and a 4.5 hour post show discussion.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the, And you release those as separate audio files then, or
well,
how does that work?
We only just recently started recording post-show discussions because so many people started to request them. And, of course, that's available only to GSPN.TV Plus members. It's a special feed that we're going to start releasing those. I've got two episodes out now, so we just started recording them.
But
the thing is that you got to understand, and I'm not just you, but and I don't mean to be like I'm the official expert on this, but what I have to understand, let me put it that way, what I have to understand is that okay, I may have 5,000-6,000 people who are going to listen to this downloaded podcast, but I've got 13 people who are dialed in by phone, one lady from Belgium, two ladies from Australia, one person from the UK, and three other people from anywhere throughout the United States and whoever else is in the chat room. Here I have people who are not only just podcast or listening to my podcast while they're doing something else, driving in the car, walking on a treadmill, you know, doing the dishes, but here are people who have actually literally stopped their lives and have me on the phone. It's like, you know what? I'm investing in these people because these people have invested the most in me, and we have those conversations, and it never fails. I will tell you, it never fails that those people that I spend the time talking to individually and investing my hours of my time with them, building in a relationship, those are the people who are paying $10 a month or $120 a year to be GSPN.TV Plus members. Those are the people who, when they decide to podcast, are paying hundreds of dollars for one of my professional podcast packages. I mean, these are the people who say, you know what? My life has been built into by Cliff Ravenscraft and the GSPN.TV community. Those people, and it's the whole reciprocity, they want to build back into you. They want to say, thank you for what you've brought to my life. Let me bring something of value to you.
Well, that brings up an excellent point. I mean, in the community magnet videos and series that I'm working on right now, there's a diagram in there that talks about, okay, and it's a bit of this progression. I was just talking about how, you know, it starts out with, okay, prospective market, and then they find your site and they become maybe a subscriber, but then you're moving them along. And it's important to do exactly what it is that you said, and that is to identify the people who are progressing through the funnel. And it really encouraged those people. It's like, oh, you know, they're doing that, those extra things of wanting to interact with you. You know, they are the people who are commenting regularly on the blog or responding to your Twitter updates, or they're emailing you going, hey, you know, I did that thing you said the other day, and here's what, you know, here's the results I had. And you know, they're looking for the you know, emailing them back and feeling like they connected with you. It's like, oh, that's awesome. You know, so I'm glad to hear that. And if you identify those people and move them along, I mean, that really is, those are the core of your community. These are the people that you start identifying as, you know, quote unquote, what I call them, raving fans in the community magnet series, because these are the people that are telling other people about you. And like you say, signing up for your premium content
So there you have it, the first half of that interview, that discussion with Cliff Ravenscraft. Some great tips in there for community building, and you definitely want to catch the second half of that discussion. Again, it was quite long, almost an hour long, so I just wanted to put the first half in here. But in the second half, he talks about, for instance, how he's been able to get a sponsor interested in his community, and a sponsor who's paid him a healthy amount per episode for a new podcast before he even has a single listener for the podcast. So that was a pretty amazing story that Cliff tells in the second half, as well as how he's been able to get his community now paying him every month and generated a new passive income stream for himself. Again, he's quit his job and this is what he's doing full time now. So some great tips in there about community. So here's what you need to do if you want to go and if you want to get the second half of that interview. I mentioned in the last episode that I was working on a new ebook, and in fact, it's a brand new series. Those of you who are on the email newsletter have already heard about this new series called Community Magnet that's come out. And so it's all about this, this idea of getting the attention of your market and building a relationship with them and turning them into a loyal community. So if you go to www.communityofraving.com communityofravingfans.com, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes, but it's communityofravingfans.com. That will forward you to the first video that's a part of this series. And then after you watch that first video, if you just scroll down to the bottom of the page, you fill out your first name and your email, and that will give you that'll put you on the Community Magnet subscription list, which is free, and you'll immediately be sent a link to get the rest of the episodes. And as of this recording, I have I've done three of them, and episode number three is the entire interview with Cliff Ravenscraft. So again, go to www.communityofravingfans.com. And I just noticed that I keep saying his last name, Cliff Ravenscraft. Well, you know, when you got a name like Ravenscraft, people just want to say it again and again. It's a cool name, you know. So thank you, Cliff, for spending some time discussing. That was a great discussion. Lots of good tips in there. And definitely check out Cliff's site at gspn.tv. Now, I don't have any announcements per se for this episode, but I do have a comment that's sent in from a listener that I want to share with you. It's a great insight, a really good comment, and it's actually regarding a couple episodes when I talked about if you want to make money, you should stop being a podcaster. And that wasn't to say that, you know, you should stop podcasting or that there wasn't money to be made with podcasting, but that you should first and foremost think of yourself as, you know, a content creator, somebody with a message, a pundit, an expert, a teacher, whatever the case may be, and that, you know, podcasting is just one of the core channels that you use to get your message out there. Anyway, Ian Kath sent in the following audio comment. It actually was a whole 7.5 minute. I want to thank him for taking the time to record this. It was really great. And, you know, of course, that's quite lengthy to put the whole thing in the episode here. I'll go ahead and make his entire comment available in a link in the show notes, but I had to cut it down. Now, I'm going to warn you, it's about 3 minutes long, but it's definitely worth listening to, and he makes a great point here. So I'm going to go ahead and play that comment now from Ian.
G'day, Jason. It's Ian Kath here from Your Story over at yourstorypodcast.com. I just to remind you, I did the course with you last year and got a great deal of satisfaction out of it. Thanks very much, mate. I was just listening to the last episode of Podcasting Underground, and not for the first time, but for the second time. I was originally going to contact you this way and basically, I suppose, berate you a little bit for taking the wind out of a lot of people's sails. After I listened to it the initial time, I thought, wow, this is a bit harsh. Then I went back and I listened to it a second time because I wanted to clarify the points you were making, and I realised that I'd misinterpreted you. And I've realised that the points you make are actually quite valid. But after listening to your episode the very first time, I sat down and I actually was thinking about, well, why the hell am I doing this? And as I thought about it, I listened to another episode, and that episode is a podcast done by Shirley Paulson, who has also been doing the professional podcasting course that you put on last year, and we've been supporting each other a little bit. Her podcast, Spirituality and Christianity, discussed the importance of passion. Things that are more important to me are the things that impassion me. And when I discovered podcasts, as I've said to you previously, it just grabbed me and drove me kicking and screaming in some respects because I've had to learn so much. But this is something that I've got to do. And I think it's important to not necessarily say, I'm going to go into podcasting because I want to make $100,000 a year. I would suggest that there are going to be far more people who will develop skills that will take them to places they cannot imagine. And if you're inclined to want to play in this world, my attitude is get in there and play. At least you're going to try something out. And that's more important than sitting in your dead-end job wishing that you'd bloody picked yourself up off your ass and gone and done something. And unfortunately, not enough people, in my opinion, take those risks in life. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many dollars you've got in your bank account when you take your last breath. What matters is what you've done between now and that point in time. And if making money is important, well, that's perfectly valid. But I think for a lot of people, it's going to be other things that are more important, and that's what most people want to make the money for. The thing that podcasting has given me beyond anything else is a mechanism for meeting people. That's what I want to do. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can just sit down and do a podcast and the money's going to fall in your lap. I completely agree with you, and that's what I realized when I listened to it the second time. That's true. But even if the money isn't going to fall in your lap, maybe you should still be doing the podcast because that's what's really important to you. And the rest will work itself out. Jason, thanks for a tremendous program. I love it. See you around. All the best, eh? Cheers.
Gotta love that Australian accent. Thank you, Ian, for sending that in. I definitely, when I made that particular episode, my goal by no means was to discourage anybody. And, you know, it is, I can see how the message could be misconstrued. And I knew it was something that people might have a double take on. But really, the end goal for that particular episode, the message I was trying to get across, was really wanting to empower, you know, podcasters, empower content creators, and make them think about, you know, how to take things to the next level, and you know, really find the fullest enjoyment and fulfillment of whatever goals they have as somebody who's using this medium to create their content and communicate it out to people. So thank you for taking the time to send that in. Again, I'll have the link to the entire comment if you want to hear it in the show notes. It was like 7.5 minutes long, so I did my best to cut it down and just keep the core message that Ian was going for. So I hope I did you some justice there, Ian. Thanks again for sending it in. All right, this episode's quick tip is more along the lines of this community stuff. We got a good theme going for us here, so I'm going to continue with that. But this, I've got some quick tips for you, some specific tips on how to attract the attention of your market, and then, you know, so you can build that, start that relationship and start building that community. And there are 10 laws that I've put together that I call the 10 laws of magnetism. And so these are all principles that, when applied together, will really maximize the way that you grab the attention of your target market and start building that relationship with them. So the first law that I want to share with you in this quick tip, and then I'll tell you how you can get a hold of the other ones, is the law of desire. And that is simply this, and that is that it is a lot easier to get people to get people's attention, or to get people to act on, or get people to buy what it is that they want, versus what it is that you think they need. And a lot of times we make that mistake of thinking, oh, I've got this great idea, I know what people need, this is what I want to sell them, this is what I want to give them, this is what I want to communicate to them, this is what I think they should do. But you need to be very in tune with what your market is, what your market wants, who your market is, and what they want. And let me give you an example of that. Something that my wife is very involved in is she's gone to graduate school to become a psychotherapist, to do therapy with, you know, families and help people with relationships, and you know, a number of other things that therapy are very helpful for. But of course, therapy comes along with a stigma. And so she's found that when she communicates to people about, you know, the usefulness of therapy, she, you know, a lot of times there's some resistance because people don't think they need therapy, and they don't want therapy. But what people do want is they want to reduce stress and anxiety in their life. They want to better the relationships that they have with their family, with their kids, with their parents. And when she talks about things in terms of what people want, better relationships or overcoming stress and these other things that therapy help with, then of course it's a lot easier to communicate that message, have it received, and have people act upon it. So the law of desire says it's a lot easier to get people to act on what they want versus what you think they need. So make sure you're finding out what your community wants and not just trying to give them what you think they need. All right, so that is one of the 10 laws of magnetism. Of course, I'm not going to go all over all of them because this is, after all, a quick tip. However, again, if you want to get the rest of these 10 laws of magnetism, I bet you have already guessed how you can get the rest of them, and that is, again, the community magnet series that I put together. So part of our episode 2 goes over all 10 laws of magnetism, and also you get a downloadable PDF that goes through, you know, a quick reference guide to all 10 laws and how you can apply them. So again, you can go to www.communityofravingfans.com, and that will forward you to the first in the community magnet series, and you can sign up for free to get the rest of that and instantly get access to the PDF in the second episode that goes over all 10 laws. And again, I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And, you know, let me just point out that if I'm talking a lot about this new community magnet series or this new community stuff, again, it's because I feel like this is the most important message that I want to communicate to content creators and business owners. This is really at the core of success in these types of pursuits, and I've seen it work again and again. And let me just quickly, you know, read off a few comments that people have sent me about the community magnet series. Scott Stroud says, I just was able to watch your first first episode of Community Magnet. Great stuff. You definitely have your finger on the pulse of this industry. This is exactly the information I need to build my community and get my content out to those who can benefit from it. Dick White says, your new podcast, Community Magnet, seems to hit exactly where I need help. And also another listener here says, I just finished episode 2 of Community Magnet, and it was one of the most defining podcasts I have ever listened to. So just wanted to read those off to point out this is important content. It'll feel very strongly about it. And again, you can find that at www.communityofravingfans.com. That's it for this episode of the Podcasting Underground. To get a free recording of my Marketing Your Podcast seminar, including slides, audio, and video, over an hour of content, as well as an excerpt of my book, Promoting Your Podcast, just visit podcastingunderground.com and sign up for my email newsletter. Then every week, I'll send you the latest tips about podcasting and internet media. I'd also love to hear from you. If you have a comment or question that you'd like to have played on the show, give me a call at toll-free 877-877-7799. And just dial extension 0 for the Podcasting Underground. Until next time, get out there and make some noise.